Quarter to six in the morning. Time for First Thoughts, your best 5 minutes of the day. I don't mean by that that it's all downhill from here, but people seem to embrace that, so we keep both titles. My friend Jason Kanz, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I think that's an important idea, is that it's hopefully starting out a wonderful day.
We could add that as a third title. Welcome to First Thoughts, the best 5 minutes of the day. It's all downhill from here.
But if we keep adding titles, eventually we won't have to talk about it.
I know it. I struggle as a decision maker, if you haven't noticed. It's just like the whole thing is I keep it open-ended. My personality profile is I keep it open-ended as long as possible. And I felt confirmation in that. A guy wrote a book called Contrarian Leadership, Steve Sample, from the head of USC. And, again, contrarian. So he had said, basically, wait to make your decision as long as possible. I'm like, there you go. Amen. From the back row, sir. So,
well, there you go. I do what works for you, I guess.
How are you on decision making?
I tend to be much more decisive. Uh-huh. I think that fits my personality. I tend to be maybe even rigid at times.
Okay.
If you would ask, particularly my daughter, Grace, she would say that I can be rigid at times.
So people don't talk about Myers-Briggs nearly as much as they used to, it seems. I'm an ENFP, though. Do you know what you are?
So for a long time, I said I was an ENTJ.
Uh-huh.
And when I've taken it more recently, I fall as an INFJ.
Okay. Wow.
And so, and normally you don't think of that as something that changes a whole lot. But I think, you know, when you're at the middle of those things, I'm an INFJ.
Yeah, I think it can. My wife is changed. But that's interesting, the E and the I change. All right, we better get to Luke 8 this morning. Luke 8, you want to go first?
Sure. So I was going through what stood out to me. Actually, there was a lot. But what I picked up was on verse 15 in Luke 8, and it says, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart." And what really stood out was this last piece, which said, "bearing fruit with patience." Huh. And I think that as believers, sometimes we want things done now, and we want them done perfectly, as opposed to understanding that when these seeds are planted, sometimes it takes a while for them to grow.
Yeah, it's interesting because I, too, pointed to, and however many verses Luke 8 was, it went on for a bit, but 56 verses. But, yeah, I, too, the explanation of the four soils. And yet I've always been stumped at this, but I know you're Doc Kanz, so you can answer the question. And that is that if Isaiah 55 says that God's word does not return void, but it accomplishes the purpose for which he sent it, then why isn't everybody saved? And it seems like this, because this comes into play here, because it's the condition or the soil of your heart to receive the seed, right?
Right. I think that's definitely a part of it. You know, I had a conversation with somebody once about which of the seeds were saved, you know, and I had always assumed it was only the seeds in the good soil. And the person I was talking with said, maybe that's not the case.
Uh-huh.
And so I've continued wrestling with that throughout my life as well. You mentioned Isaiah 55, and that is Andrew Peterson, and my favorite Andrew Peterson song includes that that verse, and it's the sower song. So it's, again, that idea that we plant seeds takes time, but what God wants to accomplish, he will accomplish.
And I think the heartbreaking part, it's interesting, you said verse 14, which is like the fourth soil. But for me, and this, you can find this also in Matthew, and I want to say Mark, I could be wrong. It's in Matthew, to Matthew like 13, the parable of the sower. But it's the third one that's the heartbreak. I mean, right? I mean, they come close.
Right.
But typically it says the worries of the riches and the pleasures keep it.
Right.
And, crowded out here, it says in New Living, it says crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. You know, like cares, riches and pleasures, you would think of as good things, even maybe results of the Protestant work ethic, right? And
right,
yet
right,
it can
right.
come back and be, I mean, if it keep, if it chokes the word.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet I think as believers, we seek to avoid suffering. And yet suffering often, you know, the soil is torn up. You know, that's where the fruit or where the seed really takes root.
Hmm. Little five-minute doses every day. It's like a little mini candy bar that we serve up for people every day. And it's kind of a morning breakfast bar, actually. So
it is. It is. More like a granola bar.
All right. Well, you mentioned Andrew Peterson. I think thinking or hoping I would play an Andrew Peterson song. We'll get one. I'll find a Christmas song from him. I'm sure everybody records a Christmas album if they're around as long as he's been.
You should play Matthew's Begats today if you can find it.
Matthew's Begats. I will look for it.
Yep. Okay, perfect.
Thank you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you. You bet.
Well, it was a basketball game, high school basketball game in Ohio, and everybody was standing and waiting for the national anthem to play over the speakers, but Caleb didn't play.
I've experienced that many times when doing play-by-play and something isn't quite working. And again, a lot of times you just have volunteers maybe running the sound system, things like that too, because it takes a village to help these games go on. And so, yeah, that's a familiar sight or sound or non-sound as it is.
But turned out this particular instance, no problem, though. When a dad saw that the sound system was experiencing technical difficulties, he decided to do what dads do, take matters into his own hands. And so... According to Trenton Brown, whose son plays for one of the teams, when he noticed the announcer was getting frustrated over the malfunctioning sound system, his wife began prodding him to fill the awkward silence. Trenton says, "My wife gave me a little nudge and said, sing, and I said, all right."
Isn't it great to have wives who are kind of like, hey, go out there and serve? Like, that's good to have someone who nudges you in a good direction.
I think every husband knows that nudge, right? And so this is what it sounded like. Trenton Brown. No microphone.
Everybody else singing with him, too.
Leadership.
Get this guy duetting with Zach Williams.
I guess, yeah, exactly. Instead of Dolly Parton.
And apparently the best part of this from the video that was posted online, of course, after Trenton, the dad, belts out the national anthem like nobody's business, he just sits down and starts eating his popcorn. Way to get up and serve,
there
sir.
There you go. Absolutely. Great stuff.
Is it possible to put Santa on the naughty list? And I know, just bear with us for a second, because I know some of you are like, well, if you rearrange the letters of the word Santa, you get... Let's just not go there for a second. Just bear with us for a moment. There's mall Santas. They have kids sit on their laps, probably not during COVID. And they say, hey, ho, 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 what do you want? And then the kid tells them what they want, and then Santa says, sure, you can get it, and then the parents try and figure out how to pay for it. But this particular mall Santa, who's behind a plexiglass box... wasn't maybe as nice to a kid as we normally would think, Halvo.
No, that's for sure. I mean, he kind of came with some preconceived beliefs. And one of them seemed to be pretty strongly no guns for kids.
I'm really curious what state this is from. We won't go there either, but I'm really curious what state this is from.
Well, it could have been any one of a number of them. But again, not a fan of guns, even Nerf guns.
And that was the sticking point here, because this kid had a pretty simple request. He said, I'd like a Nerf gun. Well, apparently because this particular mall Santa wasn't a fan of any sort of guns, even Nerf guns, he tells the kid in no uncertain terms that he will not, in fact, be getting a Nerf gun this year, even when the mom tries to clarify that the boy's only asking for a Nerf gun.
Right. I mean,
it's not a Red
there.
Rider, Santa. It's just a Nerf. Santa won't back down.
And so Santa, with his strong stance, and the kid bursts into tears, and his mother tries to reassure him, it's okay, Bobby. You'll still get a Nerf gun for Christmas.
Santa at that point is trying to say, well, what about Legos? What about a bicycle? Great gifts. But again, the kid had his heart set on a Nerf gun, which I'm pretty sure they work really hard to make sure those things are safe.
Yeah.
Maybe people have differing opinions, but I played with Nerf a lot growing up.
Oh, yeah.
But Santa says no.
I'm old enough to the fact that I don't remember. I remember Nerf footballs and basketballs. They didn't necessarily have the Nerf guns yet when I was a kid in the 70s.
I had a bow and arrow. Bow and arrow. That was fun.
So, yes, Santa can make a kid cry. It's not a common occurrence, but anyhow.
Come on, Nick.
I know.
Be better. You and I, Halvo, maybe alike in different respects, including this one that we might not be as proud of. Our foot may tend to be a little heavier on the gas pedal than most.
What I'm proud of is how long it's been since a speeding ticket. It's been 2.5 years.
Wow. And see, mine, what was it? It was not this summer, but last summer when, I really got dinged up in Bayfield and learned my lesson. Mm-hmm. So here's an idea that I kind of wish would have gone somewhere for those of you who say, you know what? The speed limit is the law and I will follow the law. You deserve to be rewarded. And a few years back, Volkswagen used an idea for a traffic camera that instead of just ticketing people who speed, entered people who drive the speed limit into a lottery. Randomly selected winners get paid out of a portion of the tickets paid by the speeders.
That is amazing.
Before they put in the camera at a German intersection, the average speed was about 20 miles per hour. Did it work? Can people drive fast in Germany, the Autobahn and stuff? Did it work? The average speed of that intersection about 20 miles per hour? After? It was 15 and a half.
So
apparently our short-term gratification always rules. It's sad.
So the camera, though, is picking up kind of your...
Picking up speeders. Again, we've seen this at intersections, right? Like going through Chicago, where you'll get ticketed if you don't have the pass, the iPass, and they'll get that with camera. So again, they're catching speeders with the camera, and they're saying, but hey, if you don't speed, we'll put your license plate or something.
Bracket Street Hill in Eau Claire. Sometimes I think they've got something. They let you know how fast you're going.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. So, wow, that's interesting. Creative stuff.
But again, it's like, hey, and in a way, if you drive the speed limit, are you hoping other people's speed so that possible pool for the lottery will go up so that you have a chance to win more money? I don't know. But kind of an interesting idea. And again, probably just a reminder to all of us, including mm-hmm. Leadfoots like me and Havel. Speed limit's there for a reason.
As you're heading into the winter and eventually when it does snow,
make sure you slow down
appropriately for that. Exercise. Now, you don't need to be Rocky and run and...
drink raw eggs.
And get in the ring. But how little amount of exercise a day can actually help you reverse the effects of sitting? I mean, you've heard it, Caleb. They said sitting's the new smoking, right?
And I say this as I... broadcast from a studio where I'm sitting in my wheelie chair, which I love.
Yes.
But sedentary nature. Mm-hmm. And so many of us, again, jobs working from home and things like that, too. Maybe we realize, wow, I'm sitting a lot.
Yeah. I try to get to the Y, you know, like midday or something, and yet it's hard. I go from one job where I sit to another primarily, and it's just like every step you take is helpful and important. But apparently this study says all you got to do is 11 minutes a day.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You do that.
There you go. The study from Columbia University analyzed 9 other studies tracking nearly 45,000 folks and found that those who are most sedentary risk dying prematurely. But even when people sat as much as 8.5 hours a day, getting just 11 minutes of moderate exercise significantly cut that risk. 30 to 40 minutes of exercise, even more helpful. The exercise, which needs to be the equivalent of brisk walking or biking, to count as moderate to vigorous. So walking the dog.
Sure.
Yes.
And again, if you have a pet, or maybe if you have a friend, companion, coworker, depending on whether you're working in person or not, just take a little walk during your lunch break. I know Paul from the afternoon, he does a lot of production work here where he sits, and so sometimes he just needs to get out and stretch mm-hmm. his legs, and he'll walk down the road a ways and stuff too. Just little things like that. It's not hard, and man, the fresh air will do you a lot of good.
Yes. So anyhow, that's my hope. And even as we go through the Christmas cookie season, this is a tough time for all that. I mean, be getting your exercise, and we want to do all we can to encourage you in that regard. So 11 minutes a day.
Yeah, just start with the 11 minutes. You don't have to say, 30, 40 minutes block off today. Just start with the 11 minutes. Take a little walk up and down some stairs or something.
There you go. So do what you can. We're here for you to encourage you on.